With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
What is up, NFP? This is Wes Bunning, the Director of College Scouting here at the National Football Post, and you are listening to another installment. I believe we're up to 7.0 of the DraftNik Roundtable. We have four more guests as we approach the NFL Draft in April. On this week, we have Doug from New England Patriots Draft. We have Chris Stuber, the Jack of All Trades DraftNik at chrisstuber.com. We have Mike Lakes at the DraftNickCentral.com and Cecil Lammy at 102.3 ESPN Denver. Guys, want to thank you all for coming on today. And the topic we're going to talk about is our favorite running back as of right now outside of Trent Richardson. Richardson's kind of entrenched as that number one overall prospect. But when we're looking at who is that number two guy, not necessarily who we think who's going to be the number two guy off the draft board, but the number two best prospect in your mind who have the most success from day one, who is that guy? Doug, we'll start with you.
I'll just start off with my number two running back. That would be Doug Martin. There's a number of things that I like about him. You know, he might not be the fastest running back. He might not really flash the elite skill in any part of his game, but he's that three down back that you can plug in. He can be your number one running back. You don't need to worry about taking him out in third down situations. He can catch the ball. I was down in Mobile in January, and I thought that he had, you know, probably the best week out of any running back down there. He's got quick feet. He likes to stay down low. He's one of those kind of shorter running backs, but that's something that I actually like. I can't really hold that against any running back for being too short, because it does give you that lower center of gravity, and that's something that he really has. And, you know, he produced in college. Like I said, you know, he's not as fast as the Lamar Miller, and he's probably not going to completely wow you, but he is that third down back. He's got pretty good change of direction. He's an all-around guy who I would probably take. I'd have no problem with the team taking him in the you know, 25 to 35 range.
Cecil, who is your number two back?
Yeah, number two has to be Doug Martin, because built low to the ground, great leg drive, not as fast as a Ray Rice, but when you look on film and in person at the Senior Bowl, he's a guy that kind of reminds you of a Ray Rice type of prospect. And his versatility as a receiver out of the backfield, as a guy who can help you out in the return game, is something that I think NFL teams will cherish. And thus, he becomes my number two back, because when you talk about the complete back after Richardson, there is one that is the total package, and that is Doug Martin, and a guy that has a great attitude, great personality. Talk to him in Mobile. Talk to him again at the scouting combine. This guy's a star on the rise, and I think any team that picks him in late first, early second, will be getting a very strong Pro Bowl caliber player in Doug Martin.
All right, Mike, you're one of the tiebreakers here. We got two votes for Doug Martin, who I'm a huge fan of. We have a LaMichael James, who, Chris, a little off the board there. Not too many people have that, but I love you breaking it down the way you do. Mike, you're number two guy off the board right now.
Well, that's a tough question right now. Number two guy off the board has to be David Wilson. He's very explosive. He's the type of guy that falls forward on contact, good pad lean, or forward lean, good pad level. Gets a lot of... very quick. He's, you know, good acceleration. He's the type of guy who can be a third, three-down back in the NFL. Finishes his run. That's one thing I like about him the most, I think. I think he's a very underrated power. You know, he needs to take more of what he gets in the run game and stop trying to bounce everything to the outside, because he has a tendency to do that. He needs to work on his blocking a little bit. He tends to lunge and lower his head at times. He's kind of 50-50 in the pass blocking. I think he has a lot of similar abilities to Lamar Miller, but I kind of give him the edge in the power game and the blocking. Out of the tiebreaker between James and Martin, so I'm going to have to go with Martin, a little more of a complete back. But I like James' explosiveness in the right system. I think he can add a versatile weapon.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you brought up David Wilson, because that's who I have number two on my board right now. And again, I'm a big Doug Martin fan. I like LaMichael James. I think these three guys are going to be successful. There's no doubt about that. But when I look at Wilson, I don't see a guy that has plus natural feel between the tackles, but I think it's good enough, especially when he's asked to press the edge, when he's asked to run to space, when you can get him in the daylight. I think he accelerates extremely quickly. I think he's got some wiggle to his game, some natural fluidity and foot quickness. And when you pair that with his straight line speed, when you have a guy that has the ability to make a man miss, who can churn through contact, keep his pad level down, and either break a tackle and or make a man miss, sidestep contact, I just think this guy's a big play waiting to happen in the NFL. I think he's going to be on the plus side of 4.5 yards per carry. Again, I don't think he's going to be overly instinctive inside, but I think he's going to make up for it for a lot of his plus big runs when he gets into the second level. Plus, he catches the football well. Doug, I'm going to throw it back to you with the next question, touching on running backs. We've talked about the Lamar Millers, the Doug Martins, the David Wilsons, Trent Richardson, even the Michael James. We're looking now at round, say, 4, 5, 6, and 7, maybe even free agency. Who is a mid to late round running back that a lot of people are overlooking that in your mind has the ability to start at the next level and be that type of Arian Foster type guy, Terrell Davis, who can come out of nowhere, have a big impact early in his NFL career, despite not having the high, lofty draft grade?
The guy that I really like is Terrence Ganaway, the running back out of Baylor. He's another guy that kind of flashed me at the Senior Bowl a little bit. I think he's a little bit faster than some people think. He's back. He's 6 foot, 240-something pounds. He's got a little bit of quickness. You're not going to see too much change of direction out of him. But he did show some ball skills. And he could catch the ball in the Senior Bowl. He's a guy that can power through the middle. He might not be a Terrell Davis or an Arian Foster, but if you're kind of looking for someone who can be a LeGarrette Blount, then I think that Terrence Ganaway is that kind of guy. His role was a little bit limited in the receiving game at Baylor for one reason or another, but I've actually spoken to Terrence as well. He's an extremely intelligent player. He really likes to watch film. He's just a guy that I would certainly draft on my team if I had a choice. And I'd say he's probably a sixth or seventh round prospect, but he is a guy that I think can start at the next level if given the chance.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, and he brought up LeGarrette Blount in Tampa Bay. And another reserve that they took last year, Alan Bradford from USC, similar body type, 6'1", 235+, runs in that high 4.5, 4.6 range. It's all about getting in the right situation, and Ganaway certainly has some natural running ability for a big guy. Chris, same question thrown to you. Mid to late round sleeper running back that you really like.
I don't know if he's much of a sleeper anymore, but the guy that I really like is Chris Rainey. I'm going for another explosive kind of running back. I think in this league right now, it's all about speed. It's all about playmaking ability, and your ability to do a lot of different things and being versatile on offense is paramount. You really have to be able to catch the ball, run the ball, do a lot of things on special teams. And when I look at guys like Michael James and Chris Rainey, these guys are explosive. What they bring to the next level is something that you just cannot find in every player. So I know Rainey has some red flags off the field. They're very well documented. He's had some injury problems at Florida as well. That's a big concern. But if he's able to stay healthy, I know that's a big question with him being 5'8", about 180 pounds. But if he's able to stay healthy, stay on the field and contribute, he has some Darren Sproles to him. He's a very explosive on special teams, like I said, as a running back, as a receiver. He does some great things. And if he's in the right system, whether it be with the New Orleans or even with the New England Patriots, one of those teams that can really key him in space, I really see an explosive player that's only going to get better and better and build more confidence, because that's what he is. He's a confident guy. And when he's on the field, you really see that. And I think he has the potential to be an explosive player, a big-time playmaker.
Chris, I agree 100% with Rainey. I love the idea of you splitting him out. So we'll start him off in the backfield, motion him out in the slot, and letting him run vertically down the field, letting him get in and out of his breaks. He's a mismatch waiting to happen. Plus, he can help you out in the kick and punt return game. But I want to ask you one thing. Where would you feel comfortable taking, whether he's a running back, wide receiver, special teams guy, where would your comfort level, as much as you like him, allow you to take a guy like Chris Rainey in the draft?
I would probably say late third round, just because I think the teams drafting there, they're teams that are winning teams. Those are teams that are ready to win, that could add a guy like him late in the third round, take a chance on him, and have him be that explosive playmaker that they need.
That's a good point. Cecil, same question to you. I know you're all giddy about the guy you're about to talk to, so hit me with your late-round sleeper.
Yeah, and a mid-round guy here who really, I hate to sound like Rex Ryan, but you got to look at the feet, okay? Because throw out pad level and leg drive and straight-line speed. If they don't have the feet, they can have the vision. If they don't have the feet to get there, it doesn't matter. Who's got some of the lightest, quickest feet in this entire draft class? It's no more than the Roddy Hillman. San Diego State. I love this kid. I love his jump cut ability, and not jump cut in a Donald Brown, like, I don't know what I'm doing jump cut, but a jump cut like a Thurman Thomas type of runner. People say, oh, he's too small. He had 300 plus carries this last season. He had more carries than Monty Ball. This guy has the agility. He toys with defenders in the open field. I love that playmaking ability, but it all starts with the footwork. Ronnie Hillman has some of the best feet in this draft class. Now, if you ask me who is most likely to be an Arian Foster, translation undrafted to NFL star, I'll give you two prospects. Jewel Hampton from Southern Illinois, of course, the Iowa transfer. I love his vision. I love his instincts. Of course, injuries would red flag him. And then Michael Smith, a guy that you know I got to watch down in Little Rock at the Players All-Star Classic. Everyone talks about Robert Turbin from Utah State. I'm here to tell you his backup, Michael Smith, is pretty damn good as well and has that speed and explosion that teams will covet and could get a look as an undrafted free agent.
Cecil, I want to throw it back to you real quickly. When you look at Hillman, and when I watched him on tape, I saw a natural runner. There was no doubt about that. But at the same time, I saw a guy that took a lot of negative runs. Granted, he had 300 carries, like you said, but there were some negative plays that popped out on tape. Is that a concern to you, or do you think that's more the system and the talent around him?
It's a little bit of both. I think it's something he can be coached out of. If we all remember Jamal Charles when he came to the National Football League, and I compare Hillman's upside to LeSean McCoy, honestly. I mean, he could be that good. But when you watch Jamal Charles as a rookie, go back and watch the tape. He tried to bounce everything outside. He had to learn to become a better inside-out runner. I think Hillman has an advantage on Charles. He's not as fast straight line as Charles, but he has an advantage because he has a better nose to be an inside-out runner. Coaches will have to get in his head and say, listen, kid, sometimes you just got to take what's there instead of trying to make the big play.
And if you want my undrafted free agent, Cecil, I'm going Bryce Brown, the kid from Tennessee, Kansas State, only had three carries this past year. But, you know, it's tough to find any tape on him. But when you put him on, he got a little Montario Hardesty film, and he's the backup there as a true freshman. Watching him run in that zone scheme, just like Foster does in Tennessee, you know, he's not the most explosive guy. But, man, he's got a good feel when asked to press the edge, puts his foot in the ground. He's a really interesting guy. There's a lot of character with him, but a talented kid. Mike, I'll throw it to you last. Mid to late round sleeper running back prospect.
Yeah, you know, me and Cecil are like right there on the same page. Ronnie Hillman is a guy I love in the mid rounds. I think he's very explosive. He has that home run ability. He can always take one to the house. You know, the big thing for him, I like him as a situational guy and not as an every down back. I think he'll be a great third down back. Robert Turbin, yeah, like he was saying, everyone's watching Utah State looking for Turbin. He's a very powerful back. I do like him a lot, but Michael Smith is a guy that jumped out to me on tape watching him. Very small, compact, and explosive. I mean, he's hard. He's shifty in the open field. He's hard to bring down. Bryce Brown, I don't know what to think of this guy. I mean, didn't he just basically quit football this year? I mean, he doesn't have the same passion for the game that his twin brother or brother Arthur Brown does, which was surprising. I mean, I think if he had the work ethic and the dedication, he could be a very special back in the league, but, you know, I question that. Is he even going to make a roster? Yeah, I don't know.
All right, last thing I want to touch on before I let you guys go today, and this is Brock Osweiler, the enigma of the former basketball recruit. He's 6'7". He's got the laser rocket arm like Peyton Manning always talks about. The thing is, some people are hyping this guy up. We see Tannehill. Now he's gone in the top 10. Who's that fourth quarterback? Is he first round worthy? Brock Osweiler, is he that fourth quarterback? After his pro day workout, there were a lot of teams impressed with him. There were some people even talking it up that maybe this guy's a first-round pick. Could he go in the first round? Does he deserve to go in the first round? Doug, I'm going to throw it to you. When you watch Bryce Brown, when you watch Brock Osweiler, initial impressions of him as a prospect and where you think he warrants to go in the NFL draft?
When I watch Brock Osweiler, he's a tall player who doesn't use that height to his full advantage. I don't like that three-quarter arm slot that he uses. I think it takes away from his accuracy. I think it takes away from his arm strength. I do like the mobility that he has for being a 6'6" prospect. But there's a lot of holes in his game, and I've heard some people use the term blank slate with him. I think it's a little bit dangerous. If I'm looking at prospects, I don't typically look at upside. I usually look at what we can actually see on tape. It might be one of my problems actually as a talent evaluator. But first round for Brock Osweiler, I have a really hard time with that. I probably put about a third round grade on him just because of his upside. As far as fourth quarterback off the board, my guy is Brandon Weeden. I think that he's got pretty much all the tools that Brock's got, but Brock's got that upside and he's got that age. I understand what people might see in Brock Osweiler, but the arm strength is certainly overrated. The accuracy also, his wide receivers constantly have to adjust to his throws, and that arm slot really scares me. Sometimes those tall guys can take quite a while to fix their mechanics, and he's going to be one of the tallest quarterbacks in the league, and that's going to have to change, I think, before he can be a starting quarterback.
Chris, I'll throw it to you. Your impressions on Osweiler?
I may actually turn a draft off if he's a first-round draft pick, I'll be honest with you, because to me personally, I don't see it at all. To me, he's maybe a third-round pick. I like the kid. He's a good kid. He has a good arm. He's very athletic, but is he better than Ryan Mallett was as a draft prospect? I know Ryan Mallett had some questions off the field, but again, as a prospect, Ryan Mallett, to me, was so much better. He has so much more potential. Mm-hmm. I think Osweiler, to me, overall, he's, like you mentioned, Wes, he's an enigma. He's a guy who you look at and says, man, he passed the eye test very, very well. But when he gets on the field, you just don't know what the hell you're looking at. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love his athleticism. Like I said, his arm is very good. But do you really take a guy in the first round clearly on upside? To me, that's what you're really doing. This is a desperation call for a team that takes him in the first round, and that's what the draft has become with quarterbacks. It's desperation because they're all looking for quarterbacks, and it's ridiculous. And if he's in the first round, I'm turning the damn draft off. I'm tired of it.
Cecil, we got someone rivaling you today for, energy bringing to this podcast. Are you drinking the Brock Osweiler Kool-Aid right now?
No. In fact, I 100% agree with Chris. Listen, it's not a quarterback-driven league, guys. It's a quarterback-desperate league. And basically, Brock Osweiler is an athletic John Navarre. Okay, I know Michigan fans, I'm sorry to bring up that name. But please, this guy's tall. When he throws, he's off balance. His knees are off his back foot. And when he tries to put a little extra pepper on a throw, he gets off balance almost like a pitcher on a mound. To consider him in the first round is absolute folly. I see him as a third-day pick. Not a third round pick, a third day pick. A fourth round pick at best for Brock Osweiler. So many mechanical flaws that you have to work with. And yes, he's big and he's athletic. I think people are surprised by the athleticism. Hey, he can really move. Yeah, but what does he do as a passer? Okay, and as a passer, the throwing motion is off, the decision making is off, the three quarter release is not good whatsoever. I'm not down with Brock Osweiler as a first round pick. My fourth quarterback, and this may surprise some, but 10 days ago, I got a chance to watch three games with Brandon Weeden, one with Brock Osweiler, and one with B.J. Coleman, alongside my guys, Sigmund Bloom and Matt Waldman, as we got together in Knoxville for our Football Guy staff meeting. We watched all three of those quarterbacks in a row, and I got to tell you, B.J. Coleman, it was an App State game that they ended up losing, but B.J. Coleman, in my eyes, grades out better than Weeden or Osweiler. That's the guy I want as the fourth quarterback. That's the guy I want to come in as a developmental guy. With Weeden, he can't move, okay? A lot of people say, well, look, in the decision-making, even the victory formation at Oklahoma State was in the shotgun, okay? this guy's got to learn to drop back. So many things to learn in such a smaller window. You don't take him as a developmental guy. He's basically Kyle Orton. Do you want to draft Kyle Orton as the fourth quarterback off the board? I don't think so. At least I don't personally. So for me, it's actually Tennessee Chattanooga's very own B.J. Coleman as my fourth quarterback.
I like the take, Cecil. We saw Coleman live in St. Petersburg this year at the East-West Shrine.
Yeah, St. Petersburg, yep.
Yeah, he needs some work. There's no doubt about that. But the boy can sling the football. There's no doubt about that. And when he's got his feet set, he can make throws on all levels of the field. Mike, I'll throw it to you last. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid on Brock Osweiler?
Not as a first-round pick, no, sorry. somewhere maybe that third-round range, developmental type. I think Mallett went a little too late last year, but that was for, you know, other reasons than his football playmaking ability. Osweiler should be in the same range, but for different reasons. I think he has some ball placement issues. Yeah, he can make all the throws down the field. He's got the strong arm, but he has some inaccuracy at times. Probably should have went back to school for another year, in my opinion. You know, he's a little too raw, and not much work under center at all. Pretty much everything's in the shotgun, like they were saying about Wheaton's victory formation. Yeah, not a whole lot of work, you know, anywhere else. Yeah, I like him somewhere in that third round range. I think he's a developmental type.
Okay. So I'll give you my final take on Osweiler before I let you guys pimp yourself out before we end it. When I watched him, I think it was a day or two after he declared, I came away thinking, this isn't a very good quarterback at the college level. I thought from a talent standpoint, he was worth a third, fourth round type grade. I thought from a production and watching him on the field, I thought he was a late round player only. And he started to get some hype, so I called up a couple of my scout buddies. And the ones that covered him, I swear they told me this. They said he's worth about a third, fourth round grade. But they said from what he can do throwing the football versus air, they wouldn't be surprised at all if he jumps into that second, maybe even late first round range and fools the whole system because the team's going to fall in love with the quote-unquote enigma that he is. You know, from a quarterback standpoint, I think there's a lot of struggles to his game. I don't think he understands his own offense. He struggles to find secondary reads. I think when he's trying to decipher defenses, I think he throws blindly into coverage. I don't think he reads coverages real well. When he's asked to move off the mark, I think his eye level goes down quickly. I think he struggles to find any type of secondary reads. And as a whole, when he's asked to move his feet quickly, I think his accuracy really hurts because of it, because he loses balance and, like they said, falling off the mound off that mark. So overall, I gave him about a fourth round grade is what I have him out now. But, there's no way I would use a first-round pick on him. At the same time, I wouldn't be surprised. And we've seen it before. Guys with size, speed, and freaky athleticisms and traits at their position tend to go a lot higher than a lot of people think. So it'll be interesting to see where ultimately he ends up going. Last thing before I let you guys go, it's your chance to pimp yourself out. Tell everyone that's listening where we can find you or all the many places we can find you on the World Wide Web. Chris, since you probably have 85 of them, I'll let you go first. Where can we find you, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at Chris Stuber. That's STEUBER. Same name, @.com, ChrisStuber.com. Those are two places you can find me. I appreciate it, Wes.
Cecil, where can we find you, big guy?
Yeah, ESPN Denver. You can check out our website, DenverSportsStation.com, and read my blog. Also, check out FootballGuys.com, in addition to following me on Twitter, @CecilLammy. If you can't spell it, get off Twitter.
Doug, where can we find you, big guy?
You can find me at NEPatriotsDraft.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Doug Kied, NEPD. That's Doug, KYED, NEPD. And on any Patriots draft today, I interviewed a tight end prospect by the name of Les Brown, who's a nice little sleeper if you want to check that out.
Nice. And Mike, where can we find you, buddy?
I'm at DraftNateCentral.com. We're a relatively new site, not even a year old, still kind of in its infancy, and got a lot of exciting things going on. I can be found at DraftNateCentral on Twitter as well. One of the few sites that has stuff going on after the draft. You guys want to check that out?
Awesome, and I recommend following all four of these guys. The links are below in the article. The Twitter handle, so you don't have to worry about spelling their names right. Just click their Twitter handles below. Follow all four of these guys. I highly recommend it. Draft Nick Roundtable will be back every Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, with a new crew on as we get closer and closer. We're now under 1 month until the NFL Draft. I want to thank everyone for listening and hope you tune in next week as well. Take care.